Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast, when I share the latest stuff I've been reading. Now, I am an obsessive about science. I'm always looking out for interesting science stories, and I have been, actually, since the age of 18. But now I can tell people listening into my podcast the stuff that interests me. And thank you very much, by the way, for people emailing me. You can email me requests to laoneill@tcd.ie, and I've got a couple of requests actually coming up, and today's one isn't a request. It's just something I came across yesterday, actually, and it really interests me because it's getting close to my own interests, the science of the menopause. Now, what is the menopause? Well, equal rights, you know. There's the menopause and there's the menopause. So can it really be true that men go through a similar change in life as women when women go through the menopause? And it's an interesting scientific question. It's quite serious because many men in their middle years do report certain symptoms that are consistent with change. It's not that different to women. Now, we're talking about things like fatigue, depression, you know, lethargy, effects on libido. These happen to men as well as women. So the question is it real or is it just man flu? Now, Ed is sitting beside me here and he's in the middle of a hot flush at the moment, but I think he's drunk too much coffee. Now, let's get slightly more serious. So what is the menopause? We all know what that is, and it's a very serious thing. It's hot flushes, insomnia, joint pain, libido changes, and it's very evident, and it's a big controversial one because there is HRT available. I think at last HRT is available because there are ways to handle this, these very sort of serious consequences for women. And all it really means is scientifically is women stop menstruating and then they go into an older phase, and then they can't have children anymore. And it's a bit of a mystery why this happens biologically. And in fact, it's rare in the animal kingdom. Only two other mammals go through it, which intrigues scientists. And this is the scientific question: why do certain mammals have the menopause? Two other species are known to have it: killer whales and finned pilot whales. So two species of whale definitely go through the menopause as well. And that they've been studied. And in fact, it's a very interesting recent finding. That's what's driven me to cover this topic again. I'd like to give you the latest stuff. Very recent studies come out trying to explain why whales go through it. Now, why women go through it, of course, the theory has always been to help bring up grandchildren. And there is evidence for this, actually, that the older woman who helps with the kids, basically the grandchildren, the kids definitely benefit from that. So you can see how evolution would have selected for this. Because remember, evolution doesn't really care. It's a random process and certain things begin to happen. And if they provide an advantage to a population, that will persist as a trait. And the genetic basis for it will persist as well. So you can see how evolution would have said humans will live to be 80, say, in the ideal world. When a woman is in her 50s, she herself will stop getting pregnant, and now her daughter will have a child, and then the grandmother can help. And there is evidence for that. There's some evidence for that, that may be one reason for this. But of course, remember, it's not just the grandmothers that can help. Aunts can help as well. And any older relations can help. But still, you can imagine a slight edge there with the grandmother helping raise the grandchildren. That's one reason for it. But strangely, the study with the whales found something different, and it's pretty mind-blowing, actually. The evidence from the whales would suggest it's reduced competition with pregnant daughters. Now, I'll say that again. See, if there's a situation where you've got an older whale who gets pregnant and then her daughter gets pregnant as well, right? There's competition between the two for the nutrients and in the environment and so on. And they've noticed that the whales that go through the menopause, they free up nutrients and resources for the daughter. And therefore, the daughter's offspring then is more likely to thrive and survive. And it's really unusual, this. Now, they could follow these whales. There's about 40 animals in each pod, as they're called. And they can follow them for years. This study looked at 525 calves in pods, right? And the bottom line number was, for the older whale, the calf was 1.7 times more likely to die than the younger whale. Now, that's where the evolutionary drive would have come from. So you can imagine the older whale is having a calf that's more likely to die than the daughter's offspring. So therefore, if evolution kicks in and the older whale doesn't have the calf, first of all, it's not as damaging because the calf isn't dying, but the older whale then might be able to look after the daughter's whale, is the idea. Didn't seem to be age dependent. The older whale could still have calves. but they were more likely to die than the younger whale, the daughter whale in a way. So it's a very strange study, that. And you can see how evolution would select away from that, because, you know, the dying of a calf wouldn't be ideal in any situation. And that, and then the older whale is freed up to look after the daughter whale, daughter whale's offspring in a way. So maybe a resource thing. Now, whether that happens in the reason for humans, we don't know. But basically, the bottom line is then you lose the competition with the daughters, and the grand calf benefits, is the, as they call them in the whale world, grand calves, benefits from this because the grandmother whale helps. And so again, it is to do with the grandmother, I guess, helping to some extent, but it's also to do with air resources. Now, that's the menopause. If we look at the menopause, right, it's also called the andropause. A funny name for it is Adam, androgen deficiency in the aging male. And there are definite changes as men get older. They do lose their libido a bit. They're more prone to fatigue. They lose some muscle mass. They increase body fat. These are all well known. But the trouble is, these things could be caused by something else. Lack of exercise, say, or stresses of life, because as we all get older, extra pressures in the workplace, or maybe an older relative or whatever it is, or being a father even, all these things can give rise to fatigue and muscle aches and various things. So that could be the reason for this. It's not really like a menopause, is it, at all? So that's the bit that would say it doesn't really occur. But there's no doubt that hormonal changes happen. And of course, the basis for the menopause is estrogen and progesterone. Those two female hormones, they go down, and that's what triggers the decrease in ovulation and fertility. And there's some evidence in men that testosterone goes down. Now, testosterone is the male hormone, although women have some as well. But you didn't know that. There's a balance between male and female hormones, and women have a bit of testosterone. Men have a lot more, obviously. It does go down. It goes down 1% per year as the men age. So it is going down. The problem is, how low does it have to go? Now, there is a condition called hypogonadism. And that means the testicles, which is where you make your testosterone, make a lot less. And that definitely is a testosterone deficiency. And men with that condition, they do lose libido. They get much more tired. All the things I've been saying about are happening because of very low testosterone. And one study has shown as much as 20% of men over 60 have hypogonadism when testosterone levels plummet. And they're the ones you want to give testosterone to. And we're now in the world of testosterone replacement therapy, a bit like hormone replacement therapy. And it turns out this is a multi-billion dollar industry. There's loads of ads for this. You'll see them all over the place. Take testosterone, men, and recover your vitality or whatever. It's made $1.9 billion last year, testosterone replacement therapy. And it's essential for hypogonadism, because the level of testosterone is so low. What about the rest of us? Well, this is where it gets controversial. Because even though you're losing 1% a year, there's a massive range of testosterone in us all. You know, we're talking like up from 300 at the lower limit up to 2000 at the high limit. And loads of us would have the lower limit. Doesn't really affect us. So if you're 300 nanograms per mil testosterone in your blood, you can't really be considered testosterone deficient. It's got to be lower than that. And yet loads of men are taking testosterone without necessarily being deficient. That's the controversial thing at the moment. And there was a fear early on that taking testosterone would increase the risk of prostate cancer, for instance. That doesn't seem to be the case, which is good. But there are risks. If you take too much testosterone, paradoxically, it'll make you more infertile. And the reason for this is your own body stops making it. If loads of it's sloshing around, you lower the natural testosterone, and overall then, unless you're taking it constantly, you have less testosterone, and you need testosterone for the sperm. So there's one problem with taking too much. You become insensitive in a way. Secondly, you get a strange red blood cell disorder called erythrocytosis when your bone marrow makes too many erythrocytes, and that can be dangerous. You can have risk of cardiovascular disease. Acne, remember those old teenage years? That's a big pulse of testosterone. That's a feature as well. So it's a little bit interesting as to whether there's a need for this or not. And it's very interesting, the history of that, actually. It goes back to over 100 years when people were injecting monkeys' gonads into themselves and claiming various effects. And then finally, the hormone testosterone is purified. A synthetic form was made in 1935. You can make it now in a lab. And that's the stuff that's in testosterone replacement therapy. And you'll see loads of products containing testosterone. Now, one big study that was done is called the Traverse Trial. 5,000 men They had a 13 nanogram per mil cutoff as being low, right? So in other words, if their testosterone levels were 13 nanograms per mil or lower, they were the ones given the testosterone. And indeed, they reported increased libido, more energy, improvements in mood. So there was an effect there. But again, the point I'm making is you've got to be really low to see a beneficial effect. Otherwise, there's no reason to take it. It's a bit like vitamin supplements that people take. Often we've loads of vitamins in our bodies. There's no point in taking a vitamin supplement. It could be a bit like that with testosterone. So they're trying to figure out more and more now who would benefit most from testosterone. No doubt, if it's very low, you'll benefit, and not many have low, as I said, 20% max of low levels. But most of us with sufficient levels would not need to take testosterone replacement therapy. So if you are in that category and you're complaining of fatigue or libido loss or whatever it is, it's probably not down to your testosterone. And they can be serious things. Indeed, they can, but isn't necessarily because you're going through the menopause is the idea. And overall, of course, it's a bit ironic that if the menopause is being treated with testosterone, it might replicate the female menopause. In other words, we're giving men hormones now to try and improve things for them. But paradoxically, it's decreasing your fertility by affecting the level of natural testosterone. So you got to be careful if you're considering testosterone therapy. But by all means, go and see your GP, though. If you feel some of these symptoms, get your testosterone tested. If it's deemed to be at the lower limit, then your GP may well recommend testosterone replacement therapy. So it's not to say that doesn't work, but again, a bit of caution is needed on this, and that it's one to watch. And given that loads of men are now taking it, we're going to find out what effect that has on our population as a whole and whether there are any real benefits or not. Certainly hormone replacement therapy is massively beneficial for the menopause, but the jury is still out on testosterone and the menopause. That is the science of the menopause for you there. And as ever, my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.